welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Eric Thomas.
All right, well, just rewinding to last week here real briefly. It was kind of a disappointing loss where you guys were in control for a while and things just kind of slip away in the second half for you guys. So just kind of what was the message to the team walking out of that one?
Kind of like I talked to you about last week. I mean, I took a lot of accountability for it and put it on me, and that's where it needs to lie right now. I've got to be better and make sure that we're doing things correctly and getting the right guys on the field, getting the right plays in, and we just got to continue to get better at that, or I got to continue to get better at that.
Yeah, and just moving into a Thursday game to close out the regular season, just kind of what difficulties does a short week bring to a high school football game? Because you don't see it very often.
Yeah, you don't see it very often. You're not used to doing it. Basically, what you do is you lose a day of recovery, and you start bringing kids in on Sunday, which what would be your normal Monday practice. So you just try to basically extend the week or shorten the week and get everything in and accomplished. And we've done that for the most part. We were off the field a little bit quicker last night, just trying to get some recovery in, things like that. And, I think we're in a good place to get going.
Yeah, and just looking at Lutheran St. Charles' schedule, obviously they've taken some lumps. They've played some really good teams, though. Just yep. Kind of what games are you kind of trying to highlight looking at film that might help you this week?
Well, I mean, you go back and you kind of look at similar offenses that we run, and then you go look at similar defenses that we run. They played Lutheran North last week, which is a really, really good football team, but they do some things similar offensively that we do. And then the St. Mary's game, they do some things similar that we do. So you just kind of plug and play and pull from different places. And they've had a different defensive game plan in every one of their games. So, it gets interesting because you got to kind of put the picture together of how you think they're going to attack us, right? So that's what we're working on, and you kind of combine those game plans and say what are been our strengths, what are our weaknesses, where do you think they're going to attack? And then offensively, they've been pretty consistent about what they do offensively. So I feel like we have a little bit better grasp on that side of the ball of what we think we'll see from them, although we don't know what quarterback we're going to see. I mean, they've played multiple quarterbacks, including a freshman, and so we got to figure out what that looks like when they get here.
Yeah, and just looking at their film, definitely those two wide receivers, number two and number three, jump out. Just kind of what have you seen from them?
Yeah, really good, long, athletic football players that can go get the ball. So the quarterback doesn't have to be extremely accurate. He can throw it up and they can make some plays. So we've got to have a plan in place for those guys, whether it's keeping a guy over the top, whether it's playing a man with one of our best guys. And we've just got to have a good matchup with them and make sure we play the ball in the air, which we've struggled with at times this year. So we got to make sure that we've worked the crap out of it and trying to continue to clean that up.
Yeah, and obviously it is the final week of the regular season here. District play starts next week. So just kind of how important is it to gain some momentum this week for you guys?
I think it's really important. It's also most likely our seniors' last time in Atkins Stadium. A chance to finish here at home under the lights, and even though it's a Thursday night, hopefully they have a good experience in their home venue the last time, and get to see their families after the game and those types of things.
Alrighty, thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Jays head coach Eric Thomas. Trevor, I got to say, we kind of closed the book on CMAC play last week. It was a disappointing end, I think, to CMAC play. 33-13 loss to Battle. I don't think I saw that one coming.
Yeah, didn't necessarily see them losing that game. Definitely saw a competitive game coming from that one. And it was a Battle team that's big up front, has some big running backs, and they kind of just wore down Jefferson City as that game went on. Really the key thing for me was Jeff City got up to a 10-0 lead early, but with the way the game flow worked, they probably should have been up by more than that. They forced three turnovers in the first half. They only get 3 points off of those turnovers. kind of a note on that. The third turnover came with less than a minute left in the second half, or in the second quarter. So they didn't really have an opportunity to score off that. So really two chances to score off turnovers. The first one, they go down, they get deep in the red zone, they get kind of stall out, forced to kick a field goal. And then the second one, I think, was a three and out right afterwards. So there was plenty of missed opportunities. Battle didn't score to their fourth offensive possession of the game. So when stuff like that happens and you're kind of the favorite going in, if they bury themselves early, you need to make sure to bury them and to a point where they can't recover. And that's exactly what Battle did. They take the lead early in the second half. Jeff City has to settle for another field goal to tie it, and then just the running game of Battle late in that game really just wore them down. They take the lead, get a stop on a key fourth down that Jeff City fumbles, and then they just wildcat him to death down the field to get the make it a two-score game. And then there was kind of a garbage time pick six to make the score look a little bit worse than it probably was. Okay. But overall numbers-wise, they get outgained by 110 yards against a team that they're probably better than. So all in all, not a great performance, and one they're probably kicking themselves over.
Can you say that that's a team they're better than when they lose by 20?
That's a fair point. That is a very fair point. It is hard to say that, but, I mean, results-wise so far this year, they going in looked like the better team. They obviously did not play like it last Friday.
Well, to be fair, it's the Jays are now 2-6 overall, end up 1-6 in C-Mac play. Well, that's where Battle ends up in C-Mac play, is 1-6, because you gave them their one win, and it was their one win of the season, because they're now 1-7. So, you know, it's not a great conference slate for the Jays. I think they're probably ready to be done with it. The bad news is, you know, they may see some of those teams again once we get into district play after this week. We'll cross that bridge later on, but it's also, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you look at it and go, okay, this was not, I don't think, you know, if it, you and I had, let's go back 8 weeks ago and go, okay, let's see how this is going to play out. I don't know that I had them going 1-7 in the CMAC.
Yeah, I definitely did not think they'd...
1-6 in the
I was going to correct you on that, but you got it. I definitely did not foresee 1-6. I definitely saw some growing pains that were probably going to come with all the scheme changes that came this year and all of the graduations that left last year. So there was a lot of... it was kind of an uphill battle coming into the season for Jeff City. Definitely did not expect it to go as awry as it did. You look at the schedule and you saw the Hickman game, and they've dominated that series in recent history. Probably thought they were going to win that one. Did pick them to win that one. And you saw a Battle team that really struggled throughout a majority of the season. I didn't think they'd be as poor results-wise as they had been.
Right.
But that was another game that you probably thought Jeff City would win going into the season. So you probably thought 3-3 was a... Or 3-4, sorry. Is a...
Is hard.
Math is very hard. The new 7-game schedule in the conference is really what's throwing us off.
Right.
But did not foresee 1-6. Probably would have guessed in the 3-4 range. Maybe 4-3 if they steal one they shouldn't have won. But yeah, I'm sure they're ready to get done with it. And kind of what you said, they might see another one of those conference teams in district play, but that means something went well. So, maybe they want to see one of them again.
Yeah, we'll figure that out later on. But so I guess if you're looking for, you know, the one thing you want to do maybe is, now that we're stepping out of conference play, we've got a non-conference game to end the regular season schedule. Maybe you need something to shake things up, and maybe just simply getting out of conference will shake that up. But let's start with the obvious thing. Maybe playing on Thursday night will shake things up, because we do have a 7 o'clock game tonight at home against Lutheran St. Charles. Let's start with the obvious question. It's weird that we're playing on a Thursday.
So this game was originally scheduled to be played at Lutheran St. Charles. The contract for this home-and-home series had this game at Lutheran St. Charles. Somewhere along the way, Lutheran St. Charles got under the impression that they were coming to Jefferson City all along. They have played, let's count it, 6 home games already this year, and they saw it as an opportunity.
They probably thought there was no way we've got a 7th, right?
Yeah, they did not think that they had 7 home games out of 9 on the schedule this year, so they went ahead and said, we'll come to you. And now, on the contract next year, the game is also supposed to be at Jefferson City, and they have not quite figured out the logistics of that. So that'll be something that gets figured out in the offseason. The other big question is, obviously, why is this on a Thursday? I assume it had something to do with scheduling if it was to be in St. Louis. Some of those teams share fields, so I don't know exactly how or what it had to do with that. and why it's still on a Thursday now that it's in Jefferson City. But yeah, that's my answer to that, and it works out for me because I'm covering Capital City on Friday because of it.
Well, it's a little wonky one way or another, but maybe that's what they maybe need to shake things up. So I guess you go, okay, let's just deal with the oddness of having to fast forward, you know, a day this week and getting one less day of preparation. Who knows what that'll mean? I guess the question is, how much are they going to need that against a Lutheran St. Charles team that's going to come in at 2-6? It sounds like it's also a team that's struggling.
And it was something I made sure to ask Coach Thomas in the podcast clip, and I liked how he put it. They didn't lose a day of preparation. They lost a day of recovery because they started the practice week on Sunday instead of on Monday. Okay. So really preparation-wise, it's the same thing. It's just kind of one less day to recover. But I think it's kind of a bad time for a short week.
Okay.
And essentially the fact that they're on a 4-game losing streak, you're kind of limping your way with injuries into the back half of this, now the final week of the regular season. And then all of a sudden on top of that, you deal with something that you're not quite used to. As far as it being Lutheran St. Charles on the other side, I'm sure they're saying the exact same thing because they enter on a 3-game losing streak.
And right.
They have taken their lumps this year. Yeah. They've only had one game decided by less than 25 points.
Right.
And it was their 27-26 win at Miller Career, who is now co-oping with Vachon. So that's kind of a weird note. But I'm sure both sides.
And it's worth noting, their other win that they got was 52-0 over Soldan. So it's not like, you know, you go, okay, the two wins, one of them's close, just barely, one of them's a blowout. So that was, you know, kind of one of those where you go, I don't know that shows us much either. So you go, okay, well, I guess we have to concentrate more than on the losses and who those came to. And like you say, none of those were particularly close either. So I don't know that we glean a whole lot from that.
So yeah, you look at their losses, Cahokia, Illinois, don't know anything about them personally. Hannibal's a pretty solid team. They lose 57-8. SLU is another good team. They lose 56-14. Gateway is undefeated. They lose 31-6. That's their second closest outcome of the season.
Right.
And then they play St. Mary's Southside, lose 56-12, and an extremely good Lutheran North team, 71-7.
Right.
So as far as scouting a team like this, and it was another thing I made sure to ask Coach Thomas in the podcast clip, because I don't know what game film you look at and what you can gain from game film where they're losing 71-7 to Lutheran North or 56-12 against St. Mary's Southside. Just up and down the schedule, it seemed like they either played a team that they were out of their class good-wise, like Soldan, or they were outclassed by a majority of their schedule. So I was really expecting him to say the Miller Career game was the kind of the game they dove into deeply.
Right.
He went with the avenue of St. Mary's Southside, Lutheran North, because schematically they want to do the same things. Obviously, it looks a lot different with athletes on the field, and especially Lutheran North. They're loaded. So I was kind of expecting them to dive deep into that Miller Career game just because it was a close game, and you kind of anticipate this one being close and just kind of see how they react to situations like that. But as far as scouting this team, I don't envy the job of the Jefferson City coaching staff this week because it's pretty hard to figure out exactly how good they are.
Sure. I think at this point, though, if you're probably the Jays, you don't care how good anybody is at this point because you have to be a little bit more concerned with yourself at this point. Just try to figure out, okay, we are obviously struggling right now. You come in scuffling, haven't lost four straight. There's plenty of things probably to fix, and you've got to get them fixed because guess what? The real season starts next week.
Yeah, and that was it was not in the podcast clip, but it was something I did ask about this week because I was kind of curious. Coach Thomas, after the game last week, he was pretty beat up emotionally and took almost all of the blame on himself, said he needs to be better, that he's letting a lot of people down. And while, I mean, some of that might be true, there's blame to go a majority of all the way around, essentially.
Right.
And I kind of asked him, essentially, like, you said a lot of things need to change, but at this point in the season, what can you change?
Sure.
And he said not really much, and I liked how he expanded on that and said, instead of changing much, it's figuring out what they have been successful at.
Okay.
And kind of building off that. And, I mean, at this point of the season, that's also not the easiest task in the world, but they're trying to kind of self-scout themselves to the point of the stuff that isn't work that hasn't worked through 8 weeks of the season isn't all of a sudden going to work in the playoffs.
Sure, true.
So figure out what they're good at, build off that as much as possible, and if you're able to throw in a few wrinkles off that, cool.
Yeah.
So at this point of the season, they definitely know who they are, and they're just trying to build off what they know and see if they can find the best versions of themselves.
as we get to the point where it's going to be important to have all hands on deck the rest of the way and try to be as healthy as you can be. How's the health of the Jays at this point?
So Lucas Cooley missed last week with a concussion, and it seems like he is also going to be out tonight. And Zach Barnes has been in and out of the lineup all year with a hamstring injury. In the second quarter last week, he planted and felt another pop. So he is also going to be out this week, and I'm not sure they're too optimistic he's going to be back next week for okay. the districts. And then there's still the two kids dealing with the after effects of illnesses that are not going to be on the field, and that's Blake Schweitzer and Jameson Gerbs. So as far as I know, there's at least four key pieces and starters that are out for tonight's game, but it seems like they're at least semi-optimistic they can get some of those pieces back for next week. But things are getting better, but it's far from perfect still.
Okay. Well, we have gotten to the point where we'll get into districts more next week, obviously. But the way the districts are kind of set up now, it looks like the Jays are going to be the sixth seed, which means this will probably be the last home game we see for the Jays for a while, unless they are able to storm their way through districts, get into the playoff point, and then figure out if they can get a home game in the playoffs. So I guess I'll just ask you, tonight's game at Atkins Stadium, do they get the victory that they need to kind of right the ship and get a springboard into districts?
Momentum would be very big for this team, just confidence level. We've talked about it all year on all the podcasts that we do, right. Just how key confidence is. And I do think they're able to get some confidence tonight. I don't think they walk into the stadium and roll over Lutheran St. Charles by any means, but I do think they can kind of comfortably control the game. Okay. And I'll pick it to be relatively close. So we'll go 35-21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TREP HAHN3. Thanks for listening.